May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So this morning, I have for you three stories. And the first story is of this woman you see up here on the screen. Everyone called her Marge, though that was not her given name. And every morning at Alpine Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, where I did my internship during seminary, she would warmly greet me. Now, her official job in the church was to be the ministry coordinator, though her unofficial job was really to be the heartbeat of this church. She saw it as her duty to cultivate the life of this congregation. And she assumed her role well. She was 75 plus when I had met her. And at that time, she had been working for the church for at least 20 years. She never asked for much, and she helped the church stretch every dollar it possibly could, even to the point that she had these scissors that she somehow finagled to work together to keep them, the two blades together, with a paperclip. And the scissors themselves were each missing the last third of their blades. These were her scissors. And all the other equipment she used was kind of the same condition and vintage. And yet she never seemed to be like, oh, poor me. She just had this frugal yet generous spirit. After a few years after I finished my internship, Marge fell and broke her shoulder. She had to quit the church, which I know was heartbreaking for her. While the church loved her and dreaded to see her go, it had also become apparent that she could no longer serve the demands and the needs of this growing congregation. Also, at this point, that we learned that Marge had not any pension or savings. In retirement, her income was reduced to the small amount she got through Social Security, which was not enough to pay the rent on her modest studio apartment, let alone buy food or cover those medical expenses that Medicare wouldn't cover. She had never made enough, really, to save for this day. And she thought that she would simply work until she died. The church was her community. It was her home, her life. Marge simply felt she had no reason to save. Now, Marge, her situation in learning about this, it was scary to me in thinking about how necessary it is to save for old age. I have a hard time getting around the thought in my head that I don't want to be a burden on anyone. So Ben and I have planned well, and we've saved a little bit regularly, and we're tucking it away in our retirement savings plans. And yet there's still this nagging question for me. How much is enough? That's the first story. The second story I have for you comes from this last March when I went to Germany. And I went there to gather with a group of pastors from all around the world through Lutheran World Federation. And we were there for study and for prayer and for fellowship. And like months, I learned just as much or even more through the times outside the classroom as I did through the times inside the classroom. And one such lesson was taught to me by Oscar. And here's a picture of Oscar. He's the gentleman here with the scarf. I did not see his neck the entire time we were in Germany. He was, after all, from Tanzania and was freezing the whole time. And he's sitting here with Petra from Germany, and this is just a scene from one of our many classroom times. Well, Oscar had volunteered to prepare a meal for our group of 25. Though he did not usually prepare meals back at home. So I volunteered to assist him with the preparation, the shopping, and the preparation of this meal. And so we went out to the market. And I had 20 euro in my pocket. And I decided to stop and get a little bit more, just in case. I had visions in my head of what it would take to feed a crowd of 25. And of course, these visions come from this culture. I had in my head vats of spaghetti and 20-pound turkeys and piles of brisket. But once we were inside the store, Oscar purchased only enough rice, vegetables, and chicken to fill a small grocery sack. In all, it was about 10 euro. And then he showed me and his other assistant how to prepare this meal. We got out spices, we brought out the pots, made sauces, and we were instructed to cut up the vegetables so small, I thought they would almost disappear. But instead, they multiplied, and so did our joy. We spent the better part of that afternoon talking and laughing, and the actual cook took any time at all. Four dishes were prepared, served to an astounded group of 25 people. From that small bag of groceries emerged a dinner large enough to satisfy us all. And this was a satisfaction laced with delight, the delight we took in one another, but also in this sense that for this short time, this blessed time of breaking bread together, we had really become the body of Christ there together around these tables, gathered from the four corners of the earth to break bread together. Somehow the alchemy of love had turned scarcity into abundance. The third story, the gospel story, tells us simply that they all ate and were satisfied. And I don't know about you, but when you hear this, isn't this part of the true miracle? Now, even at my house, around our table, around which four people are seated, not everyone, hardly ever do we all leave the table with a feeling of being satisfied, unless, of course, it's spaghetti night. But that 5,000 people should be satisfied is astounding to me. Our culture thrives on dissatisfaction and breeds it well. It inculcates in us a refusal to believe that we have enough. And this, of course, is one cause of the inequitable distribution of resources, both here and around the world. But it also drives in us this continual anxiety that I need to buy one more thing, one more toy, one more dress, one more tool, one more thing, and then I'll be satisfied. But we never are. In contrast, those who gather around Jesus are satisfied. They have enough. They had shared in a meal with one another, a meal of abundance that had come from 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And they had heard his teaching, this teaching that had come from his heart and touched their hearts. And these people had this feeling that they were part of this wondrous event in which a new way of being in the world, a different way of being in the world, was being taught to them. No wonder that they all felt satisfied. There's one more chapter to add to my story about March. When members of Alpine, the congregation to which March belonged, discovered that she had no pension, no savings, they gathered together to pray about how they would respond, how they would care for this one who had cared for them for so long. And they knew, because of who she was in relationship to them, that they cannot just let her be. They knew that they had to do something out of love for her. So, gather enough resources to build up a small monthly installment of a retirement for March. And this, too, I believe, is a miracle. It is a miracle of the fashion of the feeding of the 5,000. Abundance comes out of community. It is this miracle, too, that is told through Oscar, who made a feast out of a small bag of groceries. It is this miracle that is told through Marge's giving of herself, and then the reciprocal giving of this congregation for her. It is this miracle of generosity. And how does it happen? Well, I invite you to recall that moment in the gospel when Jesus takes the bread. And what does Jesus do with the bread? He gives thanks. And though he doesn't say it, we know to whom Jesus is giving thanks. He is giving thanks to God, his Father. Jesus is teaching us the way of generosity. But also, the way to this generosity is the way, first, of gratitude, of giving thanks, and of recognizing dependence on a power outside of himself. Jesus is showing us that all that we have has come to us as gift. Everything that we have, that we are, that we received is gift. And it comes to us through God the Father. And it is enough. No, indeed, it is more than enough. It is a feast of extravagant grace. And in response to this, our hearts are so full in appreciation that we respond by giving back in one way or another all that we have received in order that all might be fed. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, your homework. Not done yet. Okay, or home fun, as Shannon Pressinger, a fifth grade teacher, would always say. Your home fun for this week is to consider these two questions. What's enough? And what is one thing that would change in your life if you knew from this moment on you would always have enough?